today on Real Radio.
Oh no, it's the government. It's not the government. It's when the government is governed by people with wicked hearts. Well, it's racism. It's not racism. It's when a wicked heart becomes racist. The heart needs to be changed. And America's heart's broken. America's heart is sick because America has departed from God. We need to get back to God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That Jesus is the High Priest, Part 3, continues a series called Who Told You? Oftentimes, doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. In Part 1 of this lesson, we looked at Jesus as the Christ. In Part 2, we learned why Jesus was called Lord, and now Part 3, we'll see how Jesus is also our High Priest. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the Bible clearly tells us that we have a great High Priest who sympathizes with us in our weakness. And since Jesus is our High Priest, we can come to Him for grace and mercy in our time of need. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that there are many benefits of Jesus being our High Priest. He has the power to heal us, to renew our mind and our hearts. And when we seek His salvation, Jesus as our High Priest guarantees eternal life. And now, continuing his lesson called Who Told You That Jesus is the High Priest, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The just for the unjust. This is the message of the cross. This is the message of Christianity. This is why we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our High Priest. This is what He's done for us. He's justified the ungodly. Number two, His priestly work is to convert the soul. Is to convert the soul. The word convert means to switch or to change. It means to take you in a state that you find yourself in, and to be converted is to take you from one state and to present you into another state, into another place. From one form of existence to a different, not another, but a different form of existence. The Bible's very clear about conversion. People will say, have you been converted? Well, what they're saying is, are you born again? Have you come to Christ? Have you put your faith in this High Priest? And so His priestly work, how do we know that it's effective? I love this. 21st century, here we are. How do we know if the gospel is all powerful? How do we know the Bible's true? Well, many ways, but the most important way is that for the person that comes to Christ and gives Christ his life, that person is converted on the inside out. And that's important, church. Look, if you could go to heaven by doing external performances, you do so many prayers, you do so many things, you dot this I and cross this T, and you fill out your little report card, and then at the end of the day or at the end of the time frame, the priest determines, okay, you're good. All of your things line up, good to go. Listen, anybody can do that. Anybody can do that, which caused certain religions to create aspects that were impossible to achieve, to encumber the people, to keep them in fear, to keep them in bondage of what? Of doing works. And the Bible just said, don't come to Christ by doing these works for salvation. You come to Him for faith. He's done the work. But there's the move of religiosity is to keep you bound in performance. And it's a hard road. There are Christians, you might even be here today. You're not in a cult. You're not into some weird religion. You just have a hard time experiencing the forgiveness of God. And you're bound up in a weird, twisted existence whereby you think if you're having a good day, then God loves you more. Listen, the priesthood of Christ knows nothing about that. He died on the cross. He purchased your forgiveness. And He applies His righteousness to your situation. That truth converts the soul. When you come to Him, God changes you on the inside. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, regarding Jesus, who being in the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, that is God revealed in flesh. We studied that last week. and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Look at it. By himself, he purged our sins. And then when that was done, look what the Bible says. I don't know about you, there's a little bit of a sassiness to this. He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Listen, if you're Jewish today, you're going, what? Everybody knows that the temple, that the Holy of Holies and the holy place and inside the temple itself, there's no chairs. Those priests who practiced all their priestly duties in the temple in Jerusalem, or even for Moses in the wilderness with Aaron, there was no chair. There's no chair in the temple. The priests worked and worked and worked and worked, sacrificing, washing, laying this out, cutting this, serving up that. He never got to sit down. When the priests served at the temple, it was exhausting. 12, 13, 14 hour duty call for the priest. But the Bible says when Jesus by himself purged our sins, he sat down. You know what that means? He ascends back to heaven in the book of Acts, and Jesus sat down at the right hand of God the Father, meaning everything that needed to be done for you to be forgiven, Jesus accomplished it. Amen. Everything. All of it. He did it all. And that truth, when you let God, our great high priest, have that truth saturate your heart, and you realize, wait a minute, Jesus did by himself purged my sins. You need to let that soak in and let God cause you to arise with that hope, that assurance, that peace. Thirdly, under this, Jesus's priestly work is to create a new heart. You know, the Bible tells us, by the way, that we at conversion are given a new heart. We need a new heart. Okay, I have a little note written here. I need you to pray for me right now. No flash photography, please. No video. Because this really gets me going with what I'm about to say. Okay, so if I lose control, we'll just edit this out. I am so sick and tired, and I want to say righteously angry. The more and more I listen to the culture talk about the ills of our nation. Because if you listen like I do, and I wrote it down to keep myself from losing control in front of you, people want to blame the government for all of our problems. People want to blame the communists for all of our problems. People want to blame the conservatives for all of our problems. People want to blame the economy. They want to blame the blacks, or they want to blame the whites. And here's the big one. Or they want to blame the guns. It's guns. It's none of those things. Church family, when are we going to wake up? Our culture is blind to the spiritual realities. They cannot understand them. They cannot receive them. But you can. And here's the problem. Here's the issue. This is the issue. Nobody in our culture, not in government and not in the media for sure, no one's going to address the issue. And I'm going to tell you what it is right now. Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us a brand new heart. The issue is the heart. Guns cannot kill anybody. It's the wicked heart that uses a gun. And if the gun runs out of bullets, that wicked heart will beat somebody to death with the back end of the gun. Oh no, it's the government. It's not the government. It's when the government is governed by people with wicked hearts. Well, it's racism. It's not racism. It's when a wicked heart becomes racist. The heart needs to be changed. And America's heart's broken. America's heart is sick because America has departed from God. We need to get back to God. That's what's got to happen. It's a matter of the heart. You can paint everybody white or paint everybody black. It's not going to change a thing. You can remove all the guns. You know what's going to happen? People will find rocks to kill people. The heart must be changed. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That word keep in Hebrew means to set a watch. Listen, Christian, we need to set a watch on our own hearts. Did you know that? But the world says, follow your heart. Just follow your heart. How about this one? in Oprah chapter 1, verse 1. It's be true to your heart. Are you serious? That is what's called existentialism. That's humanism. Have you ever heard of this term? It's the survival of the fittest. Do you know where it comes from? It comes from the camp that says, be true to your heart. Oh, it sounds sweet in theory. Here's what it means. Well, my heart says, I like your car, and I can't afford it, so I'm going to take it from you. That's what my heart says. Can't explain it, but my heart says that I want your wife, so I'm going to take her. Really? If you carry that out, just follow your heart. The Bible says, listen, in Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says you can't know your heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his works, according to the fruit of his doings. You guys, if we're honest, we'll all know this is true. Every time our heart has said, yeah, you know what? I know you ought not to do that, but I wanna. And we've gone and done it. How'd that turn out for us? Nope. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where'd that come from? I can't believe I just said that. Oh, I can. When we say things, I didn't mean to say that. Listen, Jesus, it comes out of the heart. We need a new heart. God gives us a new heart. God says in the book of Ezekiel, to those who follow him, I'll give you a new heart. That's his promise. Psalm 51:10, David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The priestly work of Jesus Christ gives us a new heart. What an awesome truth that is. Well, we come to the second argument regarding Jesus, our high priest, and that is, what is the benefits? What is the benefit of his priesthood? If Jesus Christ is my high priest, what are the benefits? Well, before we begin to enumerate those, I jotted down three things that are important to me, and it's true for anyone in this world, to the Aborigine or to the man in the high rise on Wall Street. Religion is in your heart. Religion cannot save, but your priest can if you have the right one. And there are basically three things that you would go to a priest to experience. Number one is that you'd go to a priest to have representation, would you not? For those of you perhaps that are in Roman Catholicism, someone has taught you if somebody is in peril or someone is dying or even dead, to call for the last rites? Have you ever thought about what that's all about? What does that mean? You ever research where it comes from? I'm not going to tell you. I know, but I'm not going to tell you. You need to find out if you care. Where does that come from that you have to call for an earthly priest to issue last rites? Think of it. Why not obey the Bible and go straight to Jesus, who the Bible says there's only one mediator, one priest between man and God, and that is the man Christ Jesus? Think of that for a moment. You need to think about what you've been taught. And it's not just Roman Catholicism. It could be Anglican. It could be some other group whereby you've got to, for you to really move on or to achieve or to receive some form of a benefit, you've got to somehow have status or favor or receive something from an earthly man. And God knows nothing of that. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 14, that the priestly benefit is to renew the mind in the sense of this, that he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. This renewed. The benefits of the priesthood is having that mind that we talked about earlier renewed. and on it goes throughout Scripture. And you'll hear a lot from the book of Hebrews because it's speaking about priesthood in the book of Hebrews. But Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 says, "For this is the covenant." Listen to this. "This is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." This is an amazing verse in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, because it's still speaking about the future. God made a covenant promise to Israel in the Old Testament. But for the last 2,000 years, it's not been fulfilled by the Jewish people. That day is coming, and the predominant fulfillment of it is called the tribulation period. It has to be 7 years. It has to be directed to the Jewish people, and it has to be yet future. But listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Translation for us: when God, by his Holy Spirit, is at work, the benefit of God in your life is that his Holy Spirit will renew your mind. And how is that done? By ingesting, watch, ingesting the Bible. Whatever you and I ingest, it matters. I'll give you an example. This is kind of silly, but it's true. This week, studying for this study, I had a great time. I got way off the road, went down a path of just temple, Old Testament temple practices and all of the practices of that and the cost of it and the routine of it. It was amazing. And for whatever reason, personally, between you and I just didn't feel like listening to music. I didn't even want to hear Christian music. I was just so affected by the gravity of what a priest had to do to enter the presence of the temple, let alone once a year, the high priest into the Holy of Holies. It's, oh my goodness, God, you're amazing. So I got in my car, and I don't know, I turned on, I wanted, my heart, my soul wanted, Vivaldi. I like him. Do you know who Vivaldi is? Beethoven, Mozart. Cranked up my volume. I mean, it was just, my truck was, it was awesome. And there's just something about it. And it's just like, yes, and I'm thinking about the temple. And I got out of the car and I went, I don't know, home, whatever. I went to some store and I don't know how, but when I jumped back in, that Pandora channel that I was on jumped over to some satanic channel. And at the same volume level came, I think it was Elton John or something. And it was like, instantly, it was like, my heart wasn't ready for that. Are you with me? But the whole rest of the day, I didn't listen to any more music like that. I went back to Beethoven. You know what the whole rest of the day, guess what song was in my head? Goodbye, Norma Jean. Really? And it was like, really? Really? What was going on? What I allowed into my mind stuck. And if you haven't caught on, there's a war out there. You can read your Bible all day, and then you can read the headlines of the newspaper, and you'll remember the headline newspaper more than you remember your Bible. Why? Because it's a battle, it's a war. And here's the reason why. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible tells us that you and I are a trichotomy. Trichotomy. We are body, soul, and spirit. And in the middle of the extremes is the soul. It's your mind. It's what we're talking about right here. God renews the mind. And I'm going to tell you how he does it in a moment. On one side is your body, your flesh, the skin. And this skin, it wants to do what it wants to do. And over here is your new born-again spirit. You're made alive. You are a real believer. You're alive in spirit. And in the middle is your soul, your mind, your meditation, the stuff that you allow to enter in your ears and your eyes. And whatever you feed on is either going to answer to the flesh or it's going to answer to your spirit. Are you with me? And the more you ingest the things of the flesh, listen, I hear Christians all the time, man, I don't know why I'm such a hard time. I love God, but I keep sinning. Well, I know exactly what's going on. You're not ingesting enough of the spirit to subdue the flesh. It's very simple. I don't know what's going on. Yes, you do. Stop listening to those people. Turn off Elton John. I'm kidding. I'm going to get letters from Elton John lovers. I'm just saying. And so do the things of the Spirit. And listen, whatever you're eating on is going to be your strength. And in the middle is that soul. And so whatever's winning, the spirit or the flesh, the soul is going to go after. And the Bible says that when we pick up the Word of God, we can renew our minds. And that's what God would have us to do. The second thing under this is that the priestly benefits of Jesus Christ transforms our spirit. He transforms us. How so? The Bible says, and you know this verse well, it's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. God's priestly work transforms us. The Bible says in verse 1 of Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I love that, by the way. Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship or service. Do not be conformed to this world. Well, how do I not do that? By being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable perfect will of God. This is precious to me because I love our God. He died so you can live. Listen, He died so you can live. He wants living sacrifices. Now, look, you don't want to serve a God who says, strap a bomb onto yourself and blow yourself up, and maybe, read the fine print, and maybe you'll be accepted. Did you know that? Strap a bomb onto yourself, go blow up infidels, maybe you'll be accepted. You'll not find that in the Bible. Our high priest died for us so we could live for him. God doesn't want you in this world dead. God wants you in this world alive. Because listen, it takes living people to witness to living people. And it takes loving people to communicate love to a hurting world.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You That Jesus is the High Priest, Part 3. Thank you for listening. And our hope is that Jesus is the High Priest of your life and the only one you go to for salvation and forgiveness. Who Told You That Jesus is the High Priest, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, as well as His plan for our lives and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here at Real Radio, we understand the challenge of finding time to focus on studying God's Word. So we really think that you're going to love the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It gives you a variety of resources right there at your fingertips to help you grow spiritually. You can also check out our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org or go to YouTube and subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called The Attributes of God, Volume 2 by A.W. Tozer. Now, last month we read Volume 1 together, but if you missed that, don't worry, this book actually stands on its own. In this book, Tozer examines what God reveals about Himself, what Scripture says about His love, His sovereignty, wisdom, His faithfulness, among many other things. It's a great book. Be sure to pick it up. The Attributes of God, Volume 2 by A.W. Tozer. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you found our radio broadcast or any part of our ministry helpful in your walk with God, you can help support us on the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app or just go to our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can write this number down and call us 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you could write to us if you'd like, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways that you can connect with us, like Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.